so excited. No, I'm kidding. Oh my gosh. First of all, hi. I hate to say, like, because my sponsor was like, don't say you don't like speaking, you know, say I'm willing to serve. And so I've been trying to, like, get in that mindset, but many, like, tons of Searcy people who were like, oh, yeah, I saw your name on the, like, itinerary, and I was like Claire from Little Rock speaking, you know, everyone was like, because, like, I have just straight up said no for, I mean, I've been clean for 21 years, and I've said no more than I haven't. And many of these people in this room have like watched me. I mean, it has been a struggle. Like, I remember Dawn asked me to speak one time, and I was like, I called her in tears, and I was like, I want to, and I just cannot do it. So for me to stand up here, like, first of all, everyone else that has the courage to get up here, like, I'm so proud of y'all, because I know for me it takes a lot, and it might not take that out of everyone, but it does for me. So, and Lori was like, this is part of the surrender, you know? Oh, hi. And surrender is hard. You know, surrender is really easy for me with stuff that I like. But when it's stuff like this, to surrender to the program, to be like, you know, I know this is the stuff that makes me better, like getting out of my comfort zone. Like, for so long, it was like, I'm not going to speak because I get too nervous. I feel like I'm going to shit my pants and throw up everywhere, and I'm not going to do it, you know? And so I'd like told myself and my sponsor, like, dead serious, that I couldn't do it, and that, like, that was just like how it was. I just couldn't. That's just not me. Some people are meant to speak. I'm not. And so one of the, like, things about surrendering that I have really, like, tried to come into, or that my higher power has really, like, brought me through these past couple years, is, like, the limiting beliefs that I have about myself, you know, and really surrendering to him that, I like, all the things I thought I couldn't do. And I'm also a crier. Anyone that knows me knows that. So if you don't know me, sorry, I'll cry the entire time. It's so overwhelming to know for me that, like, all these things that I thought I couldn't do, you know, it's like I got clean, I got a life, I got a job, like, all those things. And it was like, okay, my life is good enough. And really trying to live out the 12th step, you know, which this is part of it, like, that has not been a part of my story for a long time. So really trying to grow in, like, my higher power is so much more capable than me. And that I can surrender, like, all these things that I think I can't, even the beliefs about myself. Like, I can surrender those things, and I can, like, do those things even when I don't want to, because I fucking for sure don't. And I keep being, you know, this disease is so centered in self-obsession. And, like, so much of the anxiety is, like, what are they going to think about me? And am I going to say the right things? And, you know, like, it's fucking self-obsession. It's addiction, you know? And so, this first, like, sentence under the lifelong practice of surrender says, our understanding of surrender may change over time, but our need for it does not. And it says, in the beginning, surrender might just be about not using drugs, but as time goes by, we start to see other ways our addiction plays out in our lives. And it says, we become willing to surrender other behaviors sometimes one by one. And that's so true for me. You know, I guess when I think about the things in my life that I try to control, first of all, like, what comes to mind, and I've shared this a lot in meetings, is like, when I first got clean and started working steps, I never knew I was like a controlling person. And like, I had no idea. And so I thought I was just like so like go with the flow, easygoing, you know, and I am on some stuff, but I really want shit to be my way. And so like, thank God that the steps like allow me to see those things about myself that I had no idea were true. And that still happens. You know, I was just talking to someone about like, thank God that the step working process for me is also lifelong, you know, not just the practice of surrender, but the practice of all the things that we do here. And I know some people like work the steps and then they're good and like more power to you. But I like, the things that I'm just now realizing about myself, like the things that I can do, the things I can't do, whatever, like those are still coming out now, you know? And like, so for me, surrendering to like the steps, working the steps, that has been easy for me, you know? And it talks about like, you know, in the beginning, the surrender is just about not using drugs. And there's somewhere like in the basic text that talks about, as long as we thought we had control, we were going to still use, or, you know, something to that effect. And, you know, that was so true for me. As long as I, you know, just the whole, like, I'll just take one pill, I'll just smoke weed, I'll just drink, and just on the weekends, you know, all that stuff. But, like, this last time coming in, and I went through, like, treatment, and Cersei, so these people here are so special to me, you know. I've seen them my entire, you know, time getting clean. And, you know, I went through treatment with Dan. And John and Blaine were our counselors, you know. So it's like, okay, full circle. And, you know, and Laurie and Sharon and Becca was my first sponsor. And, you know, it's like, thank God that, like, you people have stuck around. 'Cause y'all have taught me how to do this stuff. Like, share even when I don't want to, you know, like, thinking about, Sharon just walked in, and I was just thinking about, you know, things she's gone through, and just come and, like, put her heart on the line. And, like, y'all teach me, you know, how to do that, how to surrender. And, like, one of the things I've really, really struggled with, like, the past pretty much my whole time clean is my sister is also an addict, and I want to control her. You know, like, I'll tell any of my sponsees, like, You can't make anybody get clean. You can't make him come to meetings. Da, 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 da. Well, like, by God, I can make my sister get clean and make her come to meetings. It's different for us, you know, because she gets it when I tell her, you know. And I have spent so many fucking years trying to get her clean. I mean, I have. And, you know, the reality of this disease is that some people just never get it. They never fully surrender to, because it's not just surrendering, like, if it was just about surrendering the drugs, we could all stay here, you know, but it's not. It's like, we learn how to surrender the behaviors, and if we're not willing to do that, we can't stay clean, you know, and that's been her story. And I have, like, I mean, it's just been absolutely ridiculous, and it's really hard to find that boundary of, like, surrendering to the program and then, like, surrendering my sister. Like, I don't know how to do that. I want to be in control of her because I think that I can do it better than God. That's how my sponsor put it to me one day. Like, you're basically saying that you know better than God, you know? And I don't really think that, but it's, like, one of the things I was kind of thinking about with the, like, practice of surrender, it's so easy to say that, like, let's surrender, just let it go. Like, when I was talking about being nervous and everyone's like, it's fine, just let it go. I'm like, okay, I hadn't thought of that one yet. But I'm like, how? You know? Like, I don't, and so that's kind of been on my mind lately. It's like, how do I actually surrender? Like, these words are beautiful and they're great. And when it's something like love, I can do that. I can show unconditional love. And but when it comes to surrender, like, how do you do that? You know, whenever, like, Sharon asked me to speak, and I was like, why in the fuck would they ask me to speak on this topic? Like, girl. But I, you know, it's so easy. Like, I think Angie said this, like, I'm my own worst critic, you know, and Mike always reminds me of that because it's like, I have surrendered to this program for 21 years. You know, I have. And it has not always been easy, you know, but it's always been worth it, you know. And I've also watched people come in and out and in and out, and then something finally clicks, you know. And so, like, that unconditional hope you were talking about, you know, I was thinking about my sister and, like, you know, she might or might not make it back in, but there's always that hope, you know. And so I really have to, like, hang on to that in those sorts of situations. And, like, some of the other things I was thinking about that I really try to control is, well, like, everyone. But, like, in my family, like, at Thanksgiving, this was just, like, a really good example that I was just talking to her about the other day. But at Thanksgiving, like, I asked my mother-in-law, I'm sorry, Mike, but I asked my mother-in-law to do the ham one year, and, like, it just, it wasn't the best, you know? And so I was like, well, I'm going to have to make everything, you know? And so, like, I stress myself out. I'm burning up. I'm, like, making all the stuff. And, you know, it's like, what am I doing, you know? And it's like, we were just doing some work on, like, you know, trusting and, like, trusting other people and giving other people opportunities to serve, you know. So really trying to put it, like, in that perspective, like, who gives a shit if something's not that good? I mean, my stuff's probably not as good as I think it is, you know. But I just like to take control. And so, and it's a real holiday thing for me. Like, even at Christmas, like, I struggle with thinking that all my family's going to get into it, like Mike and my sister, my dad, and my pretty much everyone and my sister. And so I'm kind of like the, you know, I'm like the peacemaker. So I'm like, how do I make sure everyone gets along? How do I, like, control the situation? So by the end of the holiday, I am so exhausted. I freaking hate everyone. And so this Christmas, you know, I was like, talking to Laurie on the phone, you know, and I was like, I'm feeling like all this anxiety and, like, I'm gonna want to control all this. And she's like, I think maybe you even said, like, how do you practice surrender with this, you know, and acceptance and humility. And and so I wrote down, she said, write down what that would look like in this situation for you, you know. And so I was like writing it down, and I'm like, you know, it would be being present and, like, just letting things be. Like, so what if everyone cusses each other out? I mean, you know? And anyways, so during Christmas, everyone did all the stuff they always do. My sister's, like, singing loudly at the table, and, I mean, just, like, a bunch of weird stuff. And so I was just really trying to, like, let it be. And I really tried to, like, be in the moment. And and it was really great. And I always get really emotional about my sister for some reason. But we had a moment where we were, like, singing karaoke on my dad's TV. He's like, y'all shut the fuck up, you know. And we're like, no. And, you know, so instead of, like, being exhausted and all these things, I was able to be left with this memory of me and her singing at the top of our lungs, you know. And so, like, even if she never gets this, like, I have the memories, you know, because I'm learning how to surrender. Like, surrender it to my higher power, surrender it to y'all, you know, whatever that looks like. And learning how to, like, actually take these principles and really learn how to live them, you know, like Dan was talking. I mean, that shit is hard. Like, it's easy to love people when they're lovable. It's really hard to love people when they're assholes, you know? Like, when me and Mike get into it, I'm like, this, like, we're done, you know? And then, like, 5 seconds later, I'm like, okay, I love you again. But, you know, my freaking head is so crazy. I mean, it tells me that no one gets it. I'm so alone in these feelings of, like, inadequacy and, like, just whatever it is, you know. And that's just not the case. Like, when everyone got up and their first thing was like, I'm nervous, I was like, thank you, God, you know. And I don't know what my time is, because I was afraid to bring my phone because I would just obsess about that the whole time. But I'm just going to read one more thing. So, and I don't even really know why this is in this part of the book, but I just, or in this part of the lifelong practice of surrender, but I really liked it. It says, we learn not to take ourselves too seriously. At the end of the road, nothing was funny anymore. But as we let go of worry, shame, anger, confusion, we start to relax. Gosh, now I'm just like, the tears are just not going to stop. One of the gifts of recovery is regaining our sense of humor. It comes and goes, of course, but when we lose our sense of humor, it's a pretty good sign that we could benefit from a change in perspective. A member shared about a woman in her home group whose laugh would fill the room. Her laughter gave me hope. It had so much love and self-acceptance in it. You could hear the joy. We can laugh because things are meaningful or because we know that it's going to be okay. So, of course, I just think of all the many meetings that I've sat in and laughed in and cried in and all the different laughs that I hear in my home group, and I know immediately who it is, you know? And, like, what a joy to get to, like, be with y'all. So, anyways, I love y'all. And Chad, oh my gosh, come on, brother.
Man, so before I get started, I had no idea who I'd be sharing with today. And, you know, I knew my topic and everything. And as soon as I saw the itinerary, I was like, oh, at least I can go before Claire so I don't have to follow that up. But as, you know, God has other plans for us. And while we were at Peggy Sue's, is that what it's called? She asked to go. She told me that she was going to go first. And I was like, I will surrender this. I will surrender this. I love you, Claire. That was great. So I'm Chad Manedict. I'm nervous as well, if you can't tell. Everyone's saying it, so I'm going to say it as well. First off, I'm very grateful to be here, to be able to share for the Foothills Unity Area Convention of Narcotics Anonymous. Grateful to be clean. And most of all, I'm grateful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous for saving my life. So I do have some notes that I had made, kind of a framework. I like that word someone shared earlier. But I'm not exactly sure how well I'm going to follow that today. But the lifelong practice of surrender, whenever I first got this topic, so I'm a thinker, so I like to think of how I'm going to approach this topic, and so we'll see how it goes when I get there. But by the time I finally made that first surrender, it wasn't anything like Hollywood, it wasn't like cinematic, it was in a Sebastian County detention center. Who's been to Sebastian County? Anybody? There's one. Okay. So I've been out in the mess just running and gunning for 4 years. I found myself with a very serious opiate addiction. I had just been arrested by the drug task force. And so I had a lot of stuff over my head. And as a lot of us probably have the same way of thinking, I thought that I could think myself out of this mess. I thought if I could just plan a little bit better, if I could just manipulate one more time, I could find myself out of this. But that's not the way it went. Because control, that's what it's all about. That's the name of the game. Control was this sort of this guard that I had on my life. I like to control every single detail, every single aspect. But after working the steps in Narcotics Anonymous, I found that control that we have in early recovery, the sort of justifying or rationalizing every hit, the blaming everyone else but myself, and I think that kind of control, all it is just a negotiation with reality. That's what it is. But as the consequences of my actions started piling up, you see, I'd lost a relationship with my son, just divorced, I've got this prison sentence looming over my head, and I just didn't know what else to do. And for the first time, I made a conscious decision. Well, I made the admission that I always had known in what's found in step one, that I am powerless over my disease and my life had become unmanageable. That was the first time that I made that admission. But shortly after that, I would find my way to rehab once I got released from jail. I entered into treatment, and I remember being on that two and a half hour ride from Fort Smith to Eureka Springs to treatment, the come down, the withdrawing, sort of finally having all of these, that guilt, shame, remorse, all coming down at me at the same time about all of my past behavior, about what the future is going to look like. And there was a lot of fear. There just was. And one of the spiritual principles is courage, right? It's not the absence of fear, but the willingness to act despite it. And that's been a reoccurring theme in my recovery. But every morning, you know, I have to stay grounded in my recovery, and that's where I practice step one, that I am powerless over my disease. My life would still be unmanageable if it were up to me and my decisions, because my best thinking had got me where I was, so I can't rely on it. But there's a quote from this Living Clean. It says, "The shift from thinking that we surrender to our disease to realizing that we can surrender to our recovery is a spiritual awakening in itself." So whenever I practice step one in the mornings, I'm remaining humble. And step two and three are also a big key in this, because I'm actively turning my will and my life over to the power, to a higher power greater than myself. And what that does is it, for me anyway, it's that surrender, but it's not a weakness. You see, what it is actually turning my will and my life over to something far more powerful than my limited way of thinking. And that helps me, but we're talking about the lifelong practice of surrender, because in early recovery, when we first come through the rooms, what we're doing is we're not coming here because we're just excelling in life, right? We're coming here because we're exhausted, or if there's been some kind of crisis, like I just got arrested, I just got my kids taken away, I just got fired, I've got to do this for the judge. There are a million different excuses for why we come in here, or reasons rather. But, and this is the way I wanted to approach that, because it's easy for us to practice this level of surrender when we first get here, but how do we maintain it, right? When I first made that conscious surrender, that was 4 years ago. So things are a lot better for me than when I first got here. I'm actively, you know, I'm employed, I've got two different jobs, my relationships are healthy, I have a lot of good things going for me, but, you know, that's when complacency can sometimes kick in. So that's why I stay connected. Calling my sponsor, talking to other addicts before crisis happens, right? Not after. I continue to coming to meetings, because when I start to feel complacent, that's when I need to start placing my ass in a seat, right? Complacency. But the meetings also remind me of like who I am. Because whenever, even with some recovery under my belt now, when I come into these rooms, like I start to hear the stories, my life when I first got here, the unmanageability, the chaos, and it keeps me grounded in my recovery and continuing to go forward. But service work, if you might have noticed when I was on my way up here, you may have get a whiff of tacos. So in between the last workshop, I was helping Patty in the kitchen preparing some delicious tacos that will be served later. But service is also a big part of my recovery, whether it just be making coffee in a meeting, being a chairperson, being involved with area, whatever it is, that helps me stay grounded. The next thing I wanted to read highlighted this sentence. It says, "We begin to see more clearly what it might mean to live according to the will of our higher power. Each time we surrender, our world opens up a little bit more." All I know is every time that I've tried to live life in my will, I've failed. And every time that I've practiced surrender, I've gained something long and lasting. And so a lot of you know, last May, and this is, I can talk about it, but I still get a little hung up, but I lost my daughter last May, 2 weeks before she turned 1 year old. And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous for being in my life and giving me the tools to handle a situation like that. And, you know, I've been around long enough in the rooms to know that when crisis happens, I have to stay grounded in the fellowship. So the first thing I did was call my sponsor, let my home group members know, and all of a sudden I was just swarmed with love and support and compassion. And that's the important thing when I go through a crisis, is that I have to actively be engaged in the fellowship and not isolate myself from the solution. The other thing is, I need to come into meetings and share about where I am, because all of the things that I've just described are actively surrendering. Because whenever I ask for help from someone, I'm letting go of that pride, that ego, and I'm admitting that I don't have all of the answers, and that I can trust in the fellowship and they can hold that space for me. But how much time do I got? A few more. The last thing I've got highlighted here is, feeling like we know it all is often followed by the feeling that we know nothing. Who's felt that way before? A few of us, right. And it says it's a nice feeling for the moment that it lasts, and then we get to learn something more about surrender. Mm-hmm. So today, when I think about surrender, I talked about how I like to be in control of everything, how I always thought that I had all the answers and I had to plan everything out. Today, surrender for me means that I don't have to plan out every single detail of my life anymore. Because when I practice surrender and turn it over, that gives me freedom. I can just trust that if I do the next right thing and turn it over, the results will be in my favor. But when I come into these meetings, I hear, and you know, we come in here beaten up and exhausted and broken. And when we hear stories, when I hear stories about people who have built something with their lives, who've gotten their kids back, who've done all these great things and are living happy and full lives, that's just a different voice saying that you don't have to die like this, right? And that it works if you work it. It's just, that's, you know, I heard someone speak about hope earlier, and those messages that I've heard in the rooms, that's hope in reality. It's no longer wishing, it's actually seeing the fruition of the hard work that we put into recovery. But I'm very thankful for the committee for asking me to speak, and that's all I've got. Appreciate it.
I'm so glad you put that up there.